Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lowen. You open your mouth and words come out smoothly, clearly, without hesitation. The ability to speak fluently and easily is something most of us take for granted. But for some individuals, a specific communication disorder interrupts the flow of speech.
That disorder is known as stuttering, and it affects 1% of the population, over 3 million Americans. Many myths surround stuttering, including the belief that stutterers suffer from emotional or psychological problems. Yet research indicates there's a brain behavior connection to stuttering, and like any other medical condition, it's best treated early. Here to give us the facts about stuttering is Jane Fraser, president of the Stuttering Foundation of America, the oldest and largest nonprofit organization for the prevention and treatment of stuttering. She's the daughter of Stuttering Foundation founder Malcolm Fraser, who established the organization in 1947.
Welcome to Take Care, Jane. Thank you so much
for coming on the
show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's have you take apart the very basics of stuttering. We understand it's a communication disorder, but what is stuttering exactly?
Well, it is. You absolutely nailed it. It's a communication disorder in which the flow of speech is broken in several ways. It could be with little young children, what we mostly hear are repetitions, like this, or a prolongation of a sound such as this. So a child might say, Mommy, I want an ice cream cone. Or repetitions, mommy, I might. So you hear the difference. And then sometimes it's as much as stoppages with no sound coming. So you see the child trying just like that, and no sound is coming out at all. So any of those things can be described as stuttering. And of course, when parents hear that in their child, their little 2 and 3 year olds, they become very distressed.
What causes stuttering?
Well, we know that there are 4 factors that play a role, and the first would be genetic predisposition. My dad stuttered, my uncle stuttered, I have first cousins who stutter. We do know that 60% for sure of people who stutter have some familial pattern. There's somebody else in the family who stutters. And scientists are now guessing that it may be as high as 80%. So that's a pretty extraordinary number. We also know that it's a neurophysiological problem. That is to say that everything we do is a neurophysiological problem, whether it's walking that requires a lot of coordination. But speaking is the thing that we do that requires the most coordination of anything we do. 45,000 neuromuscular events per second to say one word. So think about that for a minute. That's extraordinary. And so a little child just learning to speak, of course, has trouble balancing all that. And most children will go through a period during which they're going to struggle a little bit to speak.
What's the typical age of onset? You say it runs in families, so that implies that people might be on the lookout for a speech delay or a problem when kids are young. But can it also occur later? You have somebody that's a fluid speaker and then suddenly at 10 years old they start stuttering. What's the most common thing?
The most common thing, overwhelmingly common, is 2 to 3. Now, some children begin stuttering at 4 or 5. The later onset is sometimes a worrisome indication. So one of the risk factors is if the onset was after age 3 and a half, we don't really know why. But the most normal age of onset would be between 2 and 3 and a half. And we see that in the calls that we've received over the decades that, by far 80% of the calls we get from parents come from parents of 2 and 3 year olds. The later onset, sometimes I think it's a misdiagnosis that perhaps that child has the problem, but it has not been recognized. So the child has been very clever in avoiding situations in which he or she might stutter. And the parents all of a sudden notice it, say, in third grade when when there's a terrible teacher that's hard to get along with and the child is scared to go to school, and all of a sudden they say, oh, he started stuttering. So I think there are some misdiagnoses there. But of course, when it does begin late like that, it's really important to get help right away and also to discuss it with your pediatrician, what else might be going on in that child's health, overall health.
I just want to make sure that we cover all four factors that you had mentioned previously. You said genetic predisposition, neurophysiological problem. What are the other two factors?
Well, let's go back to child development because that's quite interesting. Some children at 2 and 3 years old have phenomenal language ability. They've picked up words, the long words, and of course everybody laughs, oh, listen to his wonderful language. But that may be more than his motor skills can handle. So in that case, you have a mismatch. You have a child who's super bright, using long sentences, and all of a sudden his speech breaks down. And so really in that situation, you want to bring things back into sync. You want to not use such long sentences with that child and stop bragging about how smart he is, because honestly it will help that child to read simpler, easier books and not be a baby Einstein.
And then the fourth factor would be?
And then wait for the motor skills to catch up. And the fourth would be family dynamics. And, of course, that's your child who's pretty laid back, but the family has very high expectations and are putting a lot of pressure. Now, that's not a cause. That's not causality in the sense that we think of causality. But it is, if you put pressure on that child just as he or she is beginning to learn language and begin to speak, it certainly can cause some breakdowns, and then the child reacts to those.
So what is the approach in treatment for people that do stutter?
Well, we have a wonderful free videotape. It's only 15 minutes long, called 7 Tips for Talking with the Child Who Stutters. I think one thing is to, an easy thing, fairly easy, is to stop bombarding the child with questions. You don't want to not ask questions, but sometimes parents say, you know, what color is that, and how old are you, and what did you have for lunch? Remove the pressure from some of those questions by saying something like, I wonder what you had for lunch today. You see the difference? It takes all the time pressure off the child, and it gives the child more time to think and answer. And for a 2 and 3 year old, that's a really important factor. I think the other thing is we encourage parents to speak at the age level that child is. Again, we don't need a baby Einstein, particularly if you notice that child is struggling a little bit. 5 minutes with that child alone, and of course, you know, saying that to mommies who may have 4 children sounds a little silly, but finding time alone to be with that child, television off, radio off, full attention. We find as little as 5 minutes makes a huge difference for that child, and we call that special time.
We have really just 10 or 15 seconds left. I'm wondering what you'd like people to understand about stuttering.
Well, I think it's very important to be open about stuttering, talk about it normally. Kids sometimes have trouble talking. Just acknowledge that fact. Sometimes it's hard to talk, rather than getting terribly worried, which doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help parents, doesn't help the child. And seek help. Come to our website, stutteringhelp.org, and watch the film. It'll immediately make you feel better about doing the right things.